Yes, Joshua said cautiously. Thought so. He's the nephew of the governor's industrial secretary. Dodd Purcell is a complete screw-up, but he's a good partner for his uncle. All official tenders for timber go through the company he owns, except it's actually his uncle's, and all it consists of is an office down at the port. They don't actually own a yard or even any timber. The LDC pays through the nose, but nobody queries it because no lower quotes ever make it past the industrial secretary's office. All that happens is Purcell contracts a real lumber yard to supply whatever project the LDC is paying for. They do all the work, while he and Uncle cream off 30%. No effort and all profit. Warlow's chair creaked alarmed protests as his bulk shifted round. He tilted the brandy glass to his mouth aperture, and the bright lime surged out, almost sucked down into his inlet nozzle.
Smart bastards!
Jesus, Joshua said, and I'll bet the price goes up tomorrow. I expect so, Marie said. And then again the day after. Then it will become a rush order to meet your deadline, so you have to pay a surcharge. Joshua put his empty glass down on the stained table. All right, you win. What's your counteroffer? You are paying Purcell $35,000 fuser dollars, which is about 30% over the odds. I'm offering to put you in touch with a lumberyard direct. They'll supply the wood at the market rate, and you pay me 5% of the difference. Suppose we just go to a lumberyard direct now you've told us what's happening, Ashley asked. Marie smiled sweetly. Which one? Are you going back to the governor's industrial secretary for a list? Once you've picked one, do you know if it was burnt down in the riots? Where is it, and how do you get to it? Parts of this town are very unhealthy for visitors, especially after the riots. Does it have that much may-open stock, or is the owner stringing you along? What are you going to use to transport it out to the spaceport, and how much time can you spend sorting all that out? Even a relatively honest lumberyard owner is going to catch on that you've got a deadline once you start fretting because you haven't got permits and procedures smoothed out in advance. I mean, God, it took you almost a day to hire a McBoeing. Bet you didn't buy energy for it either. They'll hit you for that tomorrow. And when they scent blood, it'll be Purcell all over again. Joshua held up a warning hand to Ashley. Nobody at the spaceport had mentioned energy for the McBoeing. Jesus! On a normal planet, it would be part of the charter, and of course he couldn't use his neural mnemonics to access the contract and run a legal program check, because his copy of the fucking thing was printed out on paper. Paper, for Christ's sake! I'll deal with you, he told Marie, but I only pay on delivery to orbit, and that includes your fee. So you're going to have to clear all those obstacles you mentioned out of your way, because I don't pay a single fuser dollar once those 6 days are up. She stuck out her hand, and after a moment's hesitation, Joshua shook. We're sleeping in my space plane, seeing as how it has the only functional air conditioner on the entire planet, he told her. I want you there at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, ready to take us to this lumberyard of yours. Aye, aye, Captain. She stood and picked up her tray. Joshua pulled a wad of Lalonde francs from his jacket pocket and peeled a few off. We'll have the same again, and have a large one yourself. I think you've just earned it. Marie plucked the notes from him and stuffed them in a side pocket on her skirt. She gave them all a ludicrously sassy twitch with her backside as she walked off to the bar. Ashley watched her go with a lugubrious expression, then drained his juice in one gulp. God help that ambassador's son! Darcy and Laurie spent the day after the riots preparing for their trip. There was Kelvin Solanke to brief on the situation, and their eagles Abraham and Catlin to take out of Zero Tau equipment to make ready. Above all, they had to find transport. The harbour master's office had been damaged in the riot, so there was no list available of the boats in dock. In the afternoon, they sent the eagles skimming over the polyp rings, searching for something they could use. "What do you think?" Darcy asked. Abraham was turning lazy circles over the Harbour Seven, his enhanced retinas providing an uncluttered image of the boats moored up against the quays. "Them? Laurie exclaimed in dismay.